You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need another big third down conversion. Meyer looking to throw. Fires deep down the left side for Blythe, and he has the catch. Tiptoeing the sidelines. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Todd Blythe, his fourth of the day.
Unbelievable.
All right. Meyer to Blythe, week three. Let's forget about week two. What do you think?
We need to. If we're going to talk about it at all, it's going to be a little bit of a therapy session. So everybody just lay down on your couch, get comfortable, get ready to open up and get in your feelings a little bit.
Let's work through this. So Brett Meyer here, joined as always by number one, Todd Blythe. Todd, what's going on?
Oh, like you said, just trying to work through some things right now, getting ready, trying to pump myself back up for this Vegas trip. It seems to have it's lost a little bit of its luster after two subpar performances to start the year.
We just need one. We just need one. One big win, one to make us feel good.
Yes, if we can hang up 50, I'll feel a lot better about things. But I don't know. We'll get there. We'll get to UNLV. We're not there yet.
We'll get there. Yeah. Where are you coming to us from? Live from where?
Coming from you live in the Courtyard by Marriott in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm on my way to Yankton, South Dakota tomorrow for work.
Yankton. I mean, I tell you what, you must have like the, are you just fighting people off to try to get your territory to be able to travel where you get to go?
Yeah, it's, I love it. I love handling Iowa, Nebraska, and the Dakotas. It's just, it's vacation destination stuff for sure.
I think so. To Yankton, man. I actually have been to Yankton. I do cover a similar patch of land covering the Dakotas. So,
little known fact, my wife and I actually got engaged in Yankton, South Dakota. Your look. Everyone else can't see this look, but I see the look you're giving me. So her family built a cabin. Her grandpa built a cabin in like the 70s on, what is it? Lewis and Clark Lake in Yankton. And so she grew up going to this lake. It was like her favorite spot in the world. So when we got engaged, that's where I did it. So we got engaged in Yankton, South Dakota.
Are you moving there? Is that where you're going to raise? You're going to go to? You can go to Yankton East.
Absolutely,
Yankton West,
absolutely not moving there.
Yanktonites. Man, I'd love to talk some more about Yankton, but let's talk about Saturday. We're trying to figure out what transpired.
Okay, give me your positives. Give me your positives from Saturday.
I mean, obviously
the crowd was great.
The crowd was great. It looked great.
Tailgating
was great. Game day was terrible. Like, they just tried to feature Iowa as much as they could. Who okayed for, I don't care about the guest picker, but who gave the green light for this idiot to roll up in a massive combine or whatever it was with a bunch of Hawkeye stickers on it? Like, who was like, yeah, bring that into town. I want to know.
ESPN doesn't know what they're doing.
No, I'm fine with the
Oh, I don't know. I'm fine with the guest picker too. At least he had ties to Iowa, like the state of Iowa. I don't care. I don't care about the guest picker. Eric Church, country singer, with sick. Great pick. That one was a great pick. He's gotten a lot of hate online. He needs to stop.
Eric Church. Is he from Polk City?
Have you ever heard of Eric Church?
Is he from Polk City, Clive?
He is not.
He's not from Iowa. Your internet must be just sweet there because you're a little choppy, but we'll see if we can get through this here. You got to pay a little bit.
Sorry.
It's on the company's dime. You got to pay for the enhanced internet.
I pay for whatever my status gives me for free.
Okay. We'll see if we can get through this here with
my gold elite status.
Wait.
Yeah, I know. You just froze up again. I mean, this could be bad. This could be a bad episode.
It's saying my internet is unstable. Maybe it's me. Here we go. Let's try this. All right. Stick with us here. So, positives from Saturday. I mean, we got to start with the defense, right? Another outstanding performance. One that I think, 90% of the time you're going to win with. I mean, ideally, we'd like to force some turnovers. But I mean, if you hold Iowa to less than, I think they had like 270 some yards. I think they were under 300 yards total offense. They couldn't do anything, couldn't run it. Outside of the one big play that came after a turnover, they really didn't. I mean, Spencer Petras, 11 for 21 for 106 yards. You got after him, got some sacks. I mean, they had, I don't know, how many yards did they have rushing?
Not a lot. I think they're. Yeah,
they had 67. I think
Goodson
had
like
rushing.
55 yards or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
our defense is solid. That's not a question. 100%. I don't think anybody is doubting that. I think they ran out of gas a little bit maybe at the end, but
yeah, 4 for 15 on third down.
They were on the field the entire second half.
Yeah, but I mean, we still 106 passing yards, 67 rush yards. Iowa had 173 total yards.
Jeez. That's frustrating to lose a game like that.
Yeah, not good. Obviously, I think the biggest play of the game was probably
a fumble for a touchdown.
Coming down 14-10. We have the ball. We're backed up. Their punter did it. He was outstanding. He was, probably the MVP of the game just based on we were constant. I mean, he had, I don't know how many punts he had inside the, inside the 10, 5-yard line, whatever it was. But that was the biggest play of the game, the Breece Hall fumble. You're down 14-10.
Did you watch the play at all? I mean, we just got manhandled at the point of attack. I mean, Chase Allen was taking on a linebacker who he outweighs by 25 pounds, and he got absolutely stoned, thrown down, and then that kid popped the ball out on Breece Hall. So
yeah, I mean, it's
frustrating to see that for a sixth-year tight end, a sixth-year kid for us. I mean, just to get manhandled at the point of attack like that was tough.
Yeah, I think coming in, Chase had a lot of. Now, obviously, we know his dad, Terry Allen, who was one of our coaches when we were playing. But I think we need to get more out of that position. Charlie seemed he was a little dinged up. We'll get him back healthy. But, Chase needs to step up. And I think, sure, he knows that. And, hopefully we can get more out of him in the pass game. And then, as you said, in the run game at the point of attack, as well. But,
He has to. I mean, if we're going to sit in 12 personnel or 13 personnel like we are half the time, our first play of the game was 13 personnel. If we're going to have 2 and 3 tight ends on the field all the time, we got to get some out of them. And like 43, I apologize to 43. I don't know who that is. The third tight end that's our motion guy. I don't know. I don't know what he's giving us right now. But anyway, hey, go on.
I'll give him some love because – there was a play, the one touchdown that Breece had after the end of the end of the first half when we went in and got those points.
Mm-hmm.
He was the reason why we got push up front. he had a great block, basically caved in the entire defensive line and gave.
Oh, yeah. You know, came in motion and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I remember that.
A little bit
yeah,
of
you're right.
And,
you're right.
Yep. So 43, I'm going to send you Todd's address so you can come whoop him. Being a hater.
He's probably feel free. You got one play out of 45. Good job. Sorry.
Right. Just be, you could have been a kid from Indianola, grew up with your uniform and your jersey. And
if he was a Warren County kid, I'd know about him for sure.
Warren County. Stop. Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest play of the game. Four turnovers. You're not going to beat many teams, especially a good Iowa team doing that. So that was probably – yeah, I mean, that was probably the most disheartening thing was just offensively not being able to get anything going consistently. And, you know, you kind of go through the big plays and obviously we had it schemed. I mean, there are some things that we had schemed up. I mean, we got them basically in a single high and we had a backside receiver. This is on the play where Hutchinson was held twice, like literally pulled his jersey, pulled him down to pick the ball off, nothing. Would like to see a little bit more, you know, a flag there, but didn't get it. And obviously they come up with the interception, but, you know.
It wasn't a whole lot of tugging on that play. And
no, I mean, but it
if
was.
You watch it back, the two deep balls we threw on two deep posts, I mean, both of them were underthrown and behind the receiver.
Yeah, I think it was more just timing. That's what causes it. Cause he took an extra hitch for some reason. I don't know, maybe it didn't have a clean picture what it was. And that was probably the biggest reason why first throw and he didn't spin. He didn't get off a good ball and it just hung in the air. And I think there was a little bit of wind in the stadium, but not enough to affect the throw that much and resulted in a turnover. So I think big topic of conversation, obviously when you're all Big 12, you know, best quarterback that's probably ever been through our school is benched in the biggest game of the year and one of the biggest games of his career for, you know, probably a number of reasons, but I think more so than anything, just going back and watching. Now, I don't have all 22, but there's some things that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have been, you know, in enough meetings and played and just some things you can see. There was a couple plays where it was just day one stuff that we're missing. You know, Iowa doesn't play a lot of what I would call like middle closed, single high, like man. You know, man looks, they're going to play a lot of middle open, which means they have two high safeties. They're going to play a lot of cover four, cover two, a combo of those two coverages. Well, they'll play like a hard corner, cover two in the boundary, and then play quarters to the field to take away whatever you want. Those easy throws in the boundary, that's kind of what they do. And, you know, we had a play where we had them, they brought pressure and we had a screen to the boundary with Xavier Hutchinson and both of our linemen got out clean. It was a clean throwing lane. And it was just, he didn't throw it. He looked to the right and took a sack. And I think it was second and long, second and 12 or something like that. And that play goes for a long way. So instead of being first down or maybe even bigger, you know, third and two, we're sitting now at like third and 18 and it's over. And another play that I saw.
That's the frustrating stuff though. I mean, as a fan looking at it is, you know, he's been really, really hyped up for a long time. He had a fantastic freshman year. He had a great sophomore year. And then last year, I mean, it just purely looking at stats, and I'm not a big, you know, just look at the stats guy, but I mean, he threw for 1,200 fewer yards, you know, what, 8 fewer touchdowns. It's like, you would like to see your
games.
How many fewer games do they play? One fewer?
I mean, yeah, the numbers aren't, he had a great year, you know, sophomore year, but I think for me, it's more about like the easy plays, kind of I don't want to say day one stuff, but stuff that you've done many times. And it's stuff that, you know, when the play comes up on film, you're just sitting there like, you're going to kind of get laid into, if you will. And, you know, there was a play where they had an obvious pressure look. It's second and 12 and it's 14-10 at this time. And kind of middle of the third quarter and obvious pressure looks at the field. And we have two receivers to that side. It's a 5-man protection. They're bringing 6. It's a pretty obvious pressure look, meaning that there's a safety down into the box. He's obviously going to replace a blitzer. So we needed in turn just replace a blitz and just throw right into it. And he just kind of eats it. And Breece is out in the flat wide open. He's got kind of a whip route in and out that looks like it's probably his hot route to replace the blitz, and he doesn't do it. I mean, those are things that I think he's done several times, and for whatever reason, he just didn't see it on Saturday. And that was, you know, a second and 12, and, you know, Breece was wide open and nobody was accounting for the back there. And I don't know if maybe in that protection, he's supposed to be in the block, but doesn't look like it. He's out on his route right away. So,
I mean, would you agree that that's stuff that a fourth year starter can't miss though? I mean, for us to have success, he can't miss that stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, for us to have success, we need him to play at a high level. We need that position to give us, you know, high level effort, but people are going to make mistakes. It's just those, you know, you have a receiver open downfield late, you miss, you know, we have him in a blitz and we have a perfect play call and we don't get the ball off. And then they're bringing pressure and we just take a sack, you know, when we have answers to that. Those are plays that he's made before, and it could be something where if he's in a funk, or, you know, I've been there for better part of like my last, you know, 2 years, where it's just like plays that I made easily as a freshman, even, and definitely as a sophomore, just weren't coming as easy because you're not seeing it as clearly, or, you know, maybe we aren't the same up front, or, you know, your go-to guys, the Charlie Kohlers of the world, aren't all the way right. We don't have our normal run game to rely on. So I think maybe he's putting a little bit too much pressure on himself, and you're kind of seeing this as a result, but we definitely need to get better at that. And, you know, if I don't know what the reasons were, I guess Matt Campbell and the offensive staff probably are the only ones, and they're probably not going to give you an honest answer on it, but, you know, why he was pulled late in the game, and you saw, you know, Hunter Deckers come in, and he definitely has some juice to his arm.
He can spin it.
You can see there's more so than either quarterback that was on the field. He can spin it, and he looked good, and he looked comfortable and poised. Now, he has no scars. He has no, you know, nothing. He's seeing
different defensive calls.
Yeah, they're playing.
We're hitting a lot of underneath crossers when he got in there. Yeah. They were willing to give those up. So that's
they kind of had the game under control, and you're seeing something different, not as aggressive, but. You know, it was encouraging to see him, but, you know, if you're Brock right now, you know that, okay, there's someone who can do it behind you. And I think you have a coach who knows the urgency of the season. And no matter how much he says Brock's our guy, which he has this week, you know, that question has to be asked and it has to be answered and addressed now because of, you know, we had another quarterback on the field. So it'll be interesting to see. I anticipate that our offense as a whole will respond in a positive way. You know, getting out of town and getting on the road and kind of going to Vegas and be able to play. And
it's a perfect place. There's no distractions in Vegas. Yeah, it'll be great for us to bounce back. Yeah,
well, you know what I mean? Like it's something different. You're still,
but
there won't be any distractions for them.
That's true. They'll be locked up tight.
Yeah. I mean, they played in an NFL stadium last year, and it's not like they're going to be out on the strip. You know, maybe Todd Blythe probably would have been.
For sure. I'd have been at Caesars, no doubt about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, just kind of
put scholarship check.
Yeah, put a bow on Iowa. I mean, what were your thoughts?
Oh boy, I don't know. I was frustrated with how we looked up front. I thought there were a lot of run throughs by the Iowa defense of guys just coming free. Not necessarily even when they were bringing six. I mean, when they were bringing guys that, you know, numbers wise that we could handle. That was frustrating. I thought our center kind of got beat up a little bit. He seemed to be in the backfield or on the ground a lot. I thought Breece Hall ran really hard. He finishes runs. He's always falling forward, and he's not afraid to put his pads down, which is great to see. At the same time, he looked a little tired in the second half. He looked a little heavy legged. So I don't know if that's I don't want to be hot takey here, but I don't know if that's a thing of the fact that he's
probably
on
a product of the field, the surface.
I've already agreed with you on the field turf thing, but running through the heather out there. But I thought he looked a little heavy legged and tired in the second half. So it was kind of good to see Jarrell Brock get in there and run around a little bit, as well as the freshman. I'm going to forget his name now, but he looked quick at times. But as a whole, our offense, man, it's just, we always have two tight ends in there, usually three. So all of our throws are going to be under 10 yards. We don't have any deep threats. We threw the ball deep twice on two deep posts, and both of them were, you know, underthrown and behind our guy, and one got picked off and one got knocked down. So we're extremely unimaginative on offense. And we don't take shots. And then the other thing, and I'll ask you this, does it seem to you like we run Purdy less than we have in the past? I know there were some zone reads that we called. I can only remember one that he actually kept. There was a designed quarterback run, or at least had the option to run outside of a scramble.
Are you being radio calling offensive coordinator guy?
Yeah, I'm grasping at straws right now, looking just for kidding. Answers.
I'll say there definitely were some plays where
first time caller, like, long time listener. Yeah, I'll hang up and listen.
Long time, where it seems like he was not as eager to tuck it and run when there may have been a first down out there, or, you know, get us from, you know, second and 12 to a more manageable third down that we've seen him run in the past. And for whatever reason, he just hasn't done it now, but that's something where, you know, maybe he just needs to kind of get a little bit more into the flow of the season and get more of a feel into the game. And, you know, when we're not playing well on offense, we're having three and outs, and, you know, it's hard to get into the flow of the game. So hopefully if we can get just some momentum going during a game that he can get more comfortable, and then we'll kind of see just the full kind of, you know, the full bag of what Brock has to offer. So, and just from, you know, I'm not going to sit here. Our offense scored a lot of points. It's worked in the past. So I don't want to sit here and say we need to change things, but I will say that, you know, just having played the position and knowing, you know, when you're in 12 personnel, 13 personnel, and everything's condensed, and it's, you know, it definitely will feel like it's more challenging to find openings, and Brock does have to throw. I mean, there's some OCs around the country that don't make their quarterbacks do anything, and you're spreading it out. And, you know, there are times where we have, you know, we're in personnel with tight ends on the field, but they're spread out. You know, they're away from the line of scrimmage, but everybody's inside the numbers. That's a lot of bodies. But
there's no threat. Two tight ends. We can be in a 10 personnel set. Well, and look, two tight ends, your slot guys. What threat is that?
Yeah, I mean,
that's 15 yards. If you're a DB, sit at 15 yards. They're not going to run by you.
Yeah, that's the offense that we run. I just looking at some of the way we set it up, it's just like nobody's even on the numbers, and that can be condensed. And I don't want to be like the, you know, because we're not putting in the time. And, you know, again, we've been successful on offense. I don't want to be that guy that's, you know, sitting here saying like the.
Well, I'll be that Madden guy. That's fine.
I know you're an idiot.
This works in Madden.
It works in Madden, but, you know, it just seems like I know from experience that it does feel better as a quarterback to just, and it's easier. It's college right now. I mean, you see it in the NFL, you're spreading guys out, spreading them out, and just, hey, work one side of the field, get rid of the ball quick. And I just think that may open things up for him. So hopefully, I'm not saying we got to come out and go no huddle, but maybe getting some 11 personnel, getting some 10 personnel, and just, you know, and, you know, who knows, maybe against a UNLV, we'll be able to get some more, you know, younger guys on the field and having some receivers step up. Cause right now we need to, you know, we need depth at receiver. We need more guys to step up, and, you know, maybe that's the reason why we go 12 and 13.
Have you heard anything about like Sean Shaw or any of those guys? I mean,
he's been dinged up.
He didn't play again. So
yeah, I think he may have been close last week. So, you know, usually that means that he could be a go this week, but, you know, I know Cobes and his staff are working hard to get him right. So hopefully, you know, having him, you know, as a deep threat and a big target will definitely help.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're right. Just opening up the offense a little bit, spreading things out, just giving guys more room to maneuver would be huge right now. I feel like we're so condensed on offense with the personnel, you know, to go along with the play calling, that Brock probably doesn't have a clear picture, and he makes him a little hesitant. You would like to see a fourth year guy, you know, be able to find a spot and find a window. But again, that's easy for us to say just on this side of the mic, but we have the personnel. They've proven they can do it. That's the difference, is we have guys that have proven that they can do it at a high level. Now it's about actually executing the plan. So hopefully we can come out this week. I know I'm excited to get to Vegas. a little less excited than I was a week ago after, you know, a 1-1 start with two subpar performances on offense, but still excited to get down to Vegas. It'll be a fun trip. It'll be a packed house with a lot of Cardinal and gold. And hopefully we can right some of the wrongs that we've had so far on offense, at least. Defense, again, we've covered this, has looked great. Offense has some things to figure out.
What's your like? So like we were going to go, obviously we had everything booked, but with the baby coming in November, we decided it's probably best that we don't go, which is, you know, obviously it's a blessing. We're excited, but what's like your schedule? When are you heading out there?
We're heading out there flight. We're doing the Cyclone Fanatic charter, obviously with everybody else. So we're going down there. Our flight leaves at 11 on Thursday. Chris Williams texted me today and said that he got a cabana for Thursday afternoon at the pool, drinks on Cyclone Fanatic. So that may be a problem. We might be flirting with a little alcohol poisoning while we're out there, but you know, I'm excited to get out there, just mingle with some Iowa State fans, throw back as many beers as possible. I don't know if Vegas has Busch Light, but you know, we'll deal with it. We'll drink what they have.
$17 Busch Light.
Sit down at the tables, lose a mortgage payment or two. Should be a good weekend for sure.
What's your game? Are you blackjack? What are you playing?
Oh, I'm blackjack. I don't really know how to play anything else.
You're the guy.
Oh, blackjack's a blast. It's easy. I can count to 21. You know, I can get pretty close with my fingers and toes, so I can get there. You know, I'm pretty good at that. So I won't lose as much as I probably would at another game. I'm not delusional enough to think that I'll come back home, you know, up, but should be a good time. There's always good food and good shows and trouble to be had in Vegas. So I'm excited.
I had a dinner reservation set for the wives and the Myers and the Blythes, but I ended up canceling it. So you're on your own.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you cancel that? That's probably good.
Yeah, I canceled everything.
That's good. We're all for it if we're going to be going with you guys, but if it was just going to be like my wife and I, we probably weren't going to go spend $300 on dinner. So
I think we're going to do it one night. It wasn't going to be an every night thing, but yeah, I'll just get hammered and don't eat, and then you can get
exactly. I'll just drink my dinner. Thank you.
Great setup, but no, it should be a great week. I think it's going to be kind of a, I don't know how many people we'll see out there, kind of a bowl game light, if you will. But who knows? It's Iowa State fans. I wouldn't be surprised to turn on the TV and all of a sudden see 30,000 there. But
it's going to be a great atmosphere for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a little bummed right now, so soon after the loss last weekend. But shit, by the time we get to Saturday, everybody will be lubed up well enough. We'll be cheering and going crazy. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a night game too. So I'm sure you'll be, I don't know if there's a tailgate out there or what the setup is. I think the Mandalay is right by the stadium. It's like you walk in from there.
Yeah, I just got an email about it today. So there is not transportation from the hotel to the game because it is within walking distance. So I'll, you know, close one eye, stagger my way to the stadium, hopefully make it to our seats. So again, I'll put this out there right now. To anybody that I talk to, if I make a fool of myself while in Vegas, that's, you know, we're in Vegas. So just deal with it.
Look, Brittany's going to be right there. You're going to have like a beer and a half.
She's never been to Vegas. It might be her that's just going crazy. I put out a Twitter poll, did a poll on Twitter like a month ago and said, you know, once it was announced that it was a night game, will my wife, a Vegas rookie, make it to kickoff? Resoundingly no. The answers were, I think it was like 77% of a couple hundred people said no, she would not make it. So we'll see. We'll have to nurse her along to get her to game time. She's a real party animal for anybody that knows my wife.
Cabana, you guys are going to be just, you're going to have a good time. I think all Cyclone Nation is going to enjoy it. And after last week, we probably deserve it. So
we need it.
But overall, kind of back to, you know, to wrap this, I do feel like, you know, everything's still right in front of us. And I think if we go out and, you know, we do what we're supposed to do and we get things going on offense, defensively, and special teams wise, we keep playing at a high level, and we can still have a great year. I mean, the Iowa game for both teams is big, but I don't think it doesn't define your season.
You know, it's a non-conference game for us.
You know, Iowa's got a lot in front of them, win or lose that game. I think they, you know, win or lose, if they won out and they beat Ohio State or whoever they see in the – probably going to be Ohio State. They'll figure it out. You know, they're going to be on the brinker in the playoff, and same goes for us. If we went out, we beat Oklahoma twice, we'll most likely be on the brinker in the playoff. Who knows, depending on you know, what happens with the other leagues, if the Pac-12 between Oregon and UCLA gets one in, and SEC
the,
will probably
the get. Alliance between the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC.
Stupid.
So dumb.
So dumb.
But yeah, I think you're right. Everything's still out there in front of us. This is a non-conference loss. That's what it is. So the Big 12 title is, you know, nothing in the Big 12 has been affected. If we win the Big 12, I think it takes care of itself as far as the playoffs are concerned. So just need to make sure we take care of business from here on out. But yeah, I mean, let's put a bow on this thing, be done with the Iowa game, move on to UNLV. I think we're a 30 and a half or a 30 point favorite right now. So apparently our defense is going to hold them to negative 15 because our offense, I don't know if we have 30 in this right now. Hopefully we do.
Are we really favored by that much?
Yeah, I think I don't know what it is exactly. Last I heard, it was like 30 and a half, which again, I don't know who in Vegas looked at our offense is like, yeah, those guys are definitely going to hang 35 on someone.
I'm surprised it hasn't gotten down yet. Spread is 30, over under of 52. You expect us to win? Yeah, I don't know about that.
So they expect us to put up 40 some.
How sweet is our TV contract? First game of the year is on ESPN Plus. Third game of the year is on CBS Sports Network.
I think that's the whole point of the realignment right now.
I don't think I have that.
Well, maybe you should have kept your tickets to the Vegas.
I know. I hate that we had to be responsible. And
I know you guys are responsible, you know, thoughtful adults. How dare you? Hey, shout out real quick to Title IX Podcast. I thought it was really cool this week. They got Holly Rowe to come on, do a special episode. You know, those girls, you know, Alisa Woods and Steph Copley do a great job of covering Iowa State. They're really good at what they do. It was really
they
cool.
Stole our sign off.
They did them. Steal our sign off. They tried to get us canceled on Twitter. You know, cancel culture came after Brett and I this past week. But I did again, shout out to those girls. They do a great job. I thought it was really cool to get Holly Rowe on. Holly Rowe is amazing. She's an absolute legend in the game right now. So that was awesome for those two. But again, yeah, they did try and cancel us for, and I mean, let's be honest. They said that we stole Go Cyclones, Go State from them. I feel like we've been saying Go Cyclones and Go State since, you know, long before they had anything affiliated with Iowa State. But
first time I did it was in 2003, 18 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I've been saying Go State since, you know, Troy Davis was running around in the backfield.
So yeah,
I don't even know where they're from, but they were saying go whatever their high school is. But
they're probably like Chris. They were Iowa fans growing up.
Probably. Oh, Copley for sure was an Iowa fan. I don't want to hear what she has to say. She was definitely a Hawkeye growing up. But anything else in the world of sports and in college athletics, college football that the took notice of? Texas got thumped by Arkansas, which I thought was pretty sweet. Welcome to the SEC, boys.
Texas, it's just so funny. Like, Texas is always just – they get so far ahead of themselves. But also it's like year one, game two of a new regime. So
yeah, like, but Arkansas stinks. They have, like, single-digit wins over the past 3 or 4 years in the SEC.
I know. Now that Arkansas is going to be overrated the rest of the year, which will in turn make everyone feel like, oh, the SEC West is so – it's like –
no, Texas just sucks. That's all that is. Oregon over Ohio State, which I was actually surprised about.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some questions about Ohio State's defense coming into the year, and you're starting to see that. Their quarterback's getting a lot better.
Quarterback put up some numbers. I was a little critical of him after game one
that was his first
inaccuracy, game. But yeah. Yeah, he put up some, I think, like the second most passing yards in school history, something like that.
Yeah,
so.
when he hits his back foot and throws, it's like it's on the mark every time. He hits his receivers in stride. He's going to be good. It just takes time. But, yeah, I mean, Oregon came in there and without their two best players on defense, two five-star guys, and Kayvon Thibodeau, and there was another kid that's a five-star guy that was hurt. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. I physically beat him up. And it was impressive.
And Oregon offense, their running back put up some big yards and just ran away from folks, which you don't always see against Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think Ohio State now, again, they'll make their adjustments and they'll get it right. But, you know, kind of projecting like what Iowa's outlook is, you know, their defense, there's going to be teams that are going to be able to effectively spread them out and move the ball up and down the field on them. just a matter of when you get into the red zone, you can't do that as much. Will you score on them? Will you kick field goals? And
the question all year is going to be is if Iowa can do anything on offense.
Yeah,
their offense, I think their defense is really, really, really good, and their offense is not right.
The only thing they're doing better than us is not turning it over. Petrus has no, they have nothing going in the pass game. There's not a single receiver that scares them. Their tight ends aren't usually what they're like. A really good running back, but they haven't, you know, really
under Brian Ferentz. Right,
I don't know if they've ran the ball as well as historically they usually do. So offensively, they got to figure it out, but you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I think if they go up against Ohio State, though, I don't know if they'll be able to keep up, but I mean, they may be able to contain them offensively for a little bit, but who knows? Long way to go. But
I was going to want to keep things that in that, 24-17 range of games. They don't, you know, if they start to get into the 30s and 40s, that's when they're going to have problems.
Yeah. They haven't given up more than 24 in a couple of years, but we'll see. We almost got there. We had 17. Right now, 27-17.
Yeah, 17 of them. The seven of them were kind of cheapies at the end of the game.
Hey, I think it looks better, but Cyclones, have fun in Vegas. Be safe, Todd. Have fun. Be safe. Wish I could be out there, but I'll be adulting here in Minnesota watching the game on TV.
Tell you what, Brett. For you, just for you, I'm going to drink twice as much.
No, I don't want no pictures, videos, selfies.
Oh my gosh,
how much fun you have!
Hey, Cyclone Nation. Everything fun you do, take pictures and at Brett Meyer on Twitter, please. Hey, yeah. for the folks out there, what's your Twitter handle?
Brett with two T's. That's it.
that's false. That is not how you spell your name. But I don't know what your Twitter handle is offhand, but at Brett, make sure you you send him Twitter videos and pictures to make sure everyone he knows how much fun he's missing out on. Like I said, my gift to you is I will drink enough for the both of us while I'm there. So we'll see if I make it back.
You're such a guy, Todd. But all right, let's wrap it. Go Cyclones.
Go State.
Let's get back on the Schneid. I'm thinking we're going to score. I like our chances, obviously. 30-point favorites. I don't know that line is very well researched. Maybe
realistic.
Maybe UNLV is that bad, but I just don't think so. I think we're going to.
I'm going 28-14.
Yeah, I think they won't score 14, but could be like a 28-3 game. But we just got to get Brock going, get Brees going, get Charlie going,
spread them out on
a couple of possessions. And yeah, I'm excited to see him rebound. Hopefully, I can find CBS Sports Network. We'll see if we can find some
bootleg website that you can stream it on.
I know. I think I might have it. I don't know though. That to me seems like an additional package that you got to pay for, but we'll see.
It's behind a paywall.
But all right, Cyclones, be good. Have fun in Vegas. Be safe, Todd. We'll see you next week, buddy.
Yes, sir.